Thank you all for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church. It is such a glorious blessing to be gathered with you today. I do recognize we have some of those who aren't able to be with us. Many of them may be out of town, but also we have some that are probably under the weather. So I'm glad that you're able to be here today. It is a special day. It is a special moment as we have just celebrated in our country what is called Thanksgiving. It is also a blessing, and we're thankful to know that we can be safe here today. I know that there are many in this world, even some in our own country, that do not feel safe. But we here today in the city, we're thankful that God has blessed us with safety and security and good health. I'm also thankful that we have men and also women who are willing to serve. But publicly today, for those who serve, thank you very much. Thank you to our brother Steve, who has led us in these songs that remind us of how blessed we are to lean on the everlasting arms of our Lord. But also, I'm thankful that we have had those like Seth who came and read to us. Seth had a long reading today, and I appreciate to get through that. But Jason's prayer, Johnny's presiding over the Lord's table is always powerful. And so what a blessing it is now to open up God's Word and reflect on how blessed we really are. We spent this week talking about Thanksgiving, about reminding us every week to be thankful people, to spend time being thankful, how it is important to God for us to be thankful people. Well, today I'm going to shift gears, but tie it all together is my goal, at least. And I'm going to talk to you about what's happened. Thanksgiving is over. You've probably eaten the meal, you've eaten some leftovers, and now you're ready to be done with that. But I hope that the Thanksgiving is not over. I hope that we will remain thankful people. Many of you after Thanksgiving might have gone out to what is called Black Friday shop, where the crowds are those that you're inspired. Maybe you're getting a deal or whatever it may be, trying to get a start on what is now called the giving season. Today is a day that I am going to talk about gift wrap, because that's what's happened with some of you. You might have put your tree up, you may have put some presents under there, but along the way, if you're going to do that, or if you haven't done that, but you're going to do it, then you have to make sure the gifts are wrapped. You don't just put your gifts under the tree unwrapped. And so today, as we talk about the giving season and what God has given to us, I want to talk for a moment about gift wrapping. I know that seems a little bit strange, but I'm kind of from the old school of gift wrapping. I like to make the gift because I like to give. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You try to instill that in your children as a child. I didn't believe that. I always wanted to give, you know. But the older I've gotten, thankfully I've matured in that. I like to give, and I like to see the expression of people when they receive something they wanted, if you will. And with that, if I wrap a gift, I really wrap it. And it takes me a long time to wrap a gift, you can imagine. But I tape all sides of the box. That means it takes a long time to get in. And I wrap it up and I put a lot of tape because I want to make sure that they enjoy the moment, right? Because it's not about the wrapping. But you know, many of us decided, hey, that's not the way I just do the gift bag. Gift bag has kind of become the new thing, right? And so we put the bag, or you might get somebody else to wrap it for you. However it is, I want you to be reminded of this. The wrapping paper can be beautiful. The bows can be beautiful. The tape can be done so well. And it can all look so pretty, but it's really what's on the inside that counts, right? It's that gift that's on the inside that we're trying to get to. I want to remind you that our God has wrapped up a special gift. He's wrapped it up and He's revealed it to us. But it's a requirement of us to open the gift. As was read in 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 10, Seth read all the way through verse 15. And in verse 15, Paul simply reminds us there, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I don't know what your favorite gift you've ever received is or was. And I don't know that I know what mine was. You know, my parents were very good to us and we were very blessed. Others have been very good to me and I'm very blessed. But whatever your favorite gift is or was, it all pales in comparison to what God has given us. You see, God has given us His Son. God has given us the greatest blessing of all. A gift that we cannot put words to because it's indescribable. We also learn, as was reminded to us even this morning, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that what we cannot even fathom? We can't fathom how great Jesus Christ is. We cannot understand and comprehend how blessed we really are. Again, blessing, I know, I get wrapped up in this too. We talk about clothes and we talk about food and shelter. We talk about all the things that we have and that's the blessing. But really what it boils down to is the blessing is Jesus. The blessing is God. The blessing is being a part of Him, being a part of that indescribable gift, being wrapped up in His blood and having the gift of eternal life. We also learn about Mary. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes or cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus Christ was wrapped up in those cloths. The Son of God, God in the flesh, the indescribable gift, the one who loves us more than His own life. He gave up His life so that we might live. That's who God wrapped up for us. That's who God has given us today. What has He asked us to do then? He's asked us to unwrap the gift. The most famous verse of all time. The most popular verse. If you were to ask people, what's your favorite verse? The majority of those who have any religion in them at all will tell you it's John 3:16. And listen, I think John 3:16 is as good as any verse there. I think they're all great, right? But what does it say? For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. We've just spent time talking about being thankful for what God has what? Given us. We want to remind ourselves today that God is the greatest giver of all. He's given the greatest gift of all. And that gift is His Son. His very own Son, Jesus Christ. Again, it's not the beautiful wrapping paper. It's not the beautiful bow. It's what's on the inside of that gift wrap that really matters. Today, what I want us to do together is unwrap the gift. I want us to open up Jesus. I want us to open up eternal life. I want us to open up hope. I want us to open up faith becoming reality. You see, I want us to open up love today because it's Paul who taught us, now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, because when we understand Jesus and when we obey love and when we obey the gospel, one day faith will become sight, hope will become reality, and love will always exist. And what we need to understand today is that love and that forgiveness and that salvation is for each and every person who's ever breathed. All we have to do is open it up. Today, I want to remind us that God gives. Listen to this as I go through this list of reminders for us today. You know what God did in the beginning? He gave. He gave Adam and Eve a beautiful garden. A garden of paradise where man was supposed to live and dwell forever. You know, we're not in paradise anymore, but in a lot of ways we still are, right? We have our own paradise. We have our own homes. We have our own peace. We have our own families. We have, yeah, it comes with conflict. Yeah, it comes with trouble. But God's still given us that. God gave Noah a plan for the ark that would provide for the saving of his household when judgment came. Even though man's thoughts were evil continuously, Noah found grace and favor in the sight of the Lord. And Noah was who God was going to use to bring forth you and to bring forth me. We're here today because of Noah finding grace and favor in the sight of our Lord. You see, because Noah obeyed God's command, he was provided safety. God gave it to him. God gave Abraham a promise concerning his seed that it would be as the sands on the sea and the stars in the sky and the dust of the ground. Through his seed, we're blessed today. God gave that promise, though, to Abraham. God gave Sarah a precious child, even in her old age, and she named him Isaac. God gave Isaac the promised ram to take his place on the sacrifice altar on Mount Moriah as Abraham raised the dagger up. God gave Jacob 12 sons who were destined to become heads of the 12 tribes of Israel who would become the people of our Lord. God gave Joseph, one of those sons, a position as second in command of all of Egypt that he might rescue his own from famine in the days ahead. God gave Moses the power to work miracles before the king, the evil king, Pharaoh. God gave the Israelites possession of the land flowing with milk and honey. God gave kings to preside over his chosen people. God gave prophets to plead with his people and tell them of the amazing things to come. God gave the scriptures to prophesy of a Messiah who would come and deliver and save. God gave the shepherds a pronouncement by the angels that Jesus Christ had been born. God gave those wise men a star to lead them to the young child as they brought them their own gifts. God gave Joseph the patience to understand the strange circumstances of a virgin carrying a child. God gave the world the Prince of Peace. God gave Jesus the place of sinners on the cross to bear the sorrow and shame. And Jesus gave his life for us as sinners. God now offers to all men the pardon of their sins, that they might know the joy of everlasting life. You see, God wrapped it all up, starting in the beginning. From Adam and Eve bringing forth sin into the world, God knew that he would bring forth salvation. But he wrapped it up. He wrapped it up in the Bible. He wrapped it up in swaddling cloths. He wrapped it up. And what does he want us to do today? To unveil it to our lives and unveil it to the world. So today, as we unwrap the gifts to find out what God has done for us, it is my prayer that we'll unwrap Jesus Christ in our own lives. And we'll unwrap Jesus to all of those we come in contact with. Today, as we go down this list of what God has wrapped up, let's remind ourselves of the importance of Jesus. The importance of salvation. The importance of the church. Today, let's reflect on these following points. Number one, God, he wrapped up his gifts in his word. You know how blessed we are to have the Bible? Isn't it a blessing? You know, I think the Bible is very underappreciated. I want you to think about how spectacular it is to have a book that is written by all these people, that is written by all these men, written in different time periods, okay? On different places of the continent. Different places in the world. God had all these men over a different time period, in different places, with different backgrounds, write about one single message. Even the Old Testament, all the way to the New, that message is bringing Jesus into the world. And it all harmonizes together. And it's God-breathed. Think about that. Today, I would like to tell you that everything I'm saying, God breathed into my ear. He didn't. I'm not inspired miraculously by the Holy Spirit. You know, that died with the apostles. But what I am encouraged by is that I can gather from this book a message that He still wants to be said today. I can tell you that the things I'm going to say are found in this book, but don't take my word for it. Search the Scriptures daily yourselves. And what we need to do when we have this book, again, we have it in this form, we have it in this form, we have it in all kinds of forms, right? We can get it in our email, we can get it in our phones, we can get it all around us. But here's the point. What is it? What if I just give my children their presents and say, here are your presents, but don't open them. Don't open them up. Just put them in your room. They're in the box, they're in the paper, but they can't be unwrapped. Wouldn't it be a shame if we never unwrapped the Scriptures? Wouldn't it be a shame if we never opened the book? But folks, I'm afraid that too many of us are not opening the book. We're not studying the Scriptures. It was said in class this morning, and it's an excellent point. It's not enough just to read it. We must study it. We must meditate in it. We must learn and grow. It's how our faith will grow. Romans 10, verse 17. We need to be in the book to open up Jesus Christ in our lives. And open up Jesus Christ in others' lives. Jesus is found literally on every page. You might think, how is He? Well, let me give you just a few for instances. Jesus being found through the Bible, starting in the Old Testament, He's referenced everywhere. We just need to unwrap the pages. For instance, He is the seed spoken of in Genesis 3 and verse 15, where it reminds us, His heel shall crush the head of the serpent. Think about that. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve messed up, God referenced Jesus. As He's handing out punishments to Adam, and He's handing out punishments to Eve, and He's handing out punishments to the serpent, He said, yeah, serpent, you're going to bruise His heel, but His heel will crush your head. We don't open that up and we don't see it. We're reminded from the very first fall of man that God was in complete control through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Shiloh mentioned in Genesis 49, verse 10, who would come and gather the people to Him. He is the scepter spoken of in Numbers 24, 17. That would rise out of Jacob and batter the brow of Moab. He is the prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, to be raised up out of the midst of the brethren to be the one listened to. He is the one conceived by a virgin thousands of years before it came into existence, according to Isaiah 7. Verse 14. He is the one in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 that shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah that shall come forth only to be cut off, according to Daniel 9, 26. He is the ruler in Israel to be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah the prophet in chapter 5, verse 2. He is the Word, according to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Folks, Jesus is on every page. If I were to give you a puzzle and tell you that this is exactly how you put it together, and I helped you open that puzzle, and I helped you put all the pieces together, that puzzle would be the picture of Jesus. That's what the Old Testament is. It's not a hard puzzle. It's not a 10,000 piece puzzle. It's a puzzle that we can open up and we can put together. But if we do not open it up and put it together, we cannot point ourselves to Jesus Christ. Why would we not? Why would we not? You know, I think it's pretty remarkable how the Islamic community treats the Quran. They cherish it. They carry it in a box. They keep it. Again, it's not the inspired Word of God. It is a book that a man wrote, okay? It is not the inspired Word of God, but to them it is special. The Bible must be special to us. But let me tell you, my Bible, and again, I'm not bragging by any means. I probably should have taken better care of it. This is the second cover I put on it, and still I've got words coming out of it, okay? Here's Matthew, John, and Acts, a lot of it right here, okay? I need to have it rebound again. But this Bible the Azalea City Church of Christ gave me when I was a senior in high school, I still use this Bible. I would use it more, but I'm afraid it's going to fall apart. Here's the point behind it. I want to wear my Bibles out. Because I want to be in the book. Now listen, I'm in a lot of electronics today. And I understand that, but that's not the point. The point I'm trying to say is, let's not let our Bibles look like they came off the showroom floor. Let's wear them out. Because we're in the book. The people perish without a knowledge. We're going to perish if we do not stay in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is in there. He's ready to be unwrapped. But we've got to unwrap Him. And we've got to read about it for ourselves. Secondly, this morning, God wrapped it up in the Old Testament. Mary wrapped Him up in the stable. As we mentioned earlier, she wrapped Jesus in swaddling cloths. Now these are precious words. Can't you picture this, you moms out there? You young moms, you grandmoms, and remembering being young moms, you remember wrapping your child up, right? Literally, some of you might have used like swaddling cloths and things like that. But I remember bringing Bo home, or actually when he, again, him just being the first child, I was a lot more prepared. Well, maybe I wasn't, but I was more prepared, okay? Not a lot more, but more prepared when Madeline came along. But with Bo, I remember in the nursery how I would try to be so gentle. And that nurse would come in and she would take and she'd wrap him up. And he'd be like this little sausage in this swaddling cloth. He'd be swaddled up. I'm thinking, the kid can't breathe, you know? She said, no, that's what they like. They enjoy it because it reminds them of being in their mother's womb. And I think about Mary. And you know, we're washing our hands and we're sanitizing. Again, I believe in that, okay? But Mary's born. Jesus was born in a stable. Animals all around. In a food trough. You know, we have this scene of this manger and it's so cute and it's so peaceful and all. It's where food was given to the animals and they ate out of it. Okay? So she took those cloths and she wrapped them up. And she kept them secure. And this is her baby. And she's loving this baby. But let me remind us of this. In that swaddling cloth, in the arms of Mary, was much more wrapped up than a little baby. This was no ordinary baby. First, wrapped up in this little baby is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. Think about that. As Mary holds Jesus in her arms and she wraps Him up and keeps Him secure in her arms, He holds the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament prophecies. Every truth, every teaching, every type concealed in the Old Testament was being held in the arms of Mary. Also wrapped up in this swaddling cloth was the fullness of Almighty God. Jesus said it Himself, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and in her cloth, in her arms, in that manger scene, she held the fullness and awesomeness of God. The God who created the heaven and the earth. You remember, Jesus was there, right? In the beginning was the Word. God said at one point in the book of beginnings, "Let us make man." Jesus was right there. He didn't come along 2,000 or at that point 5,000 or whatever years later. Jesus always was. But in Mary's swaddling cloth, she held God, the one who divided the Red Sea, the one who appeared in the burning bush, the one who delivered Daniel from the mouths of the lions, the one who took the three Hebrew boys and kept them safe in the fiery furnace. He was sleeping in the arms of Mary, wrapped up in swaddling cloths. John explained that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Paul declares, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Colossians 2, verse 9. Jesus said Himself, "I and My Father are one." John 10, verse 30. He was only a little baby in the arms of Mary, but He soon confounded the doctors of the temple. He will soon be baptized by John the Baptizer. He will soon work miracles, and He will soon call a team of men that would follow Him and others and make them His disciples. He would soon die on a cross. He would soon be buried in a borrowed tomb. He would soon be resurrected the third day. He would then ascend to the Father to become our intercessor, advocate, mediator, and great high priest. God wrapped Him up. He wrapped Him up in His Word. But then He wrapped Him up in Mary's arms. For Mary had to unveil Him. Jesus had to unveil Himself. And we must do the same. God wrapped Him up in His Word. Mary wrapped Him up in His arms. But there's another being that wants to wrap Him up. And this is the unfortunate one. Satan wants to wrap up God's gift by using lies and ignorance. Man will never know what is wrapped up in the gift if Satan has his way, right? See, right now, today, some of this, you know, many of you I know are tuned in and you're plugged in. But chances are you're like me, like Justin mentioned earlier. Some of you may be floating at this point. I don't know. Need to go, okay? But we're about to be done. You may be distracted. You might be thinking about what's in the crock pot at home. You might be thinking about how you're going to get to the dinner, lunch today. You might be thinking about all the gifts you got to buy. You might be thinking about all the things you've got to do, going back to school, going back to work. All these things may be going through your mind right now, and you may not be plugged in, but guess what? That's what the devil wants. He wants us to be tuned out. He wants us to feel like we can come and warm a pew and be okay. He wants us to feel like as long as I put a check in the contribution, everything's good. He wants us to believe that we're okay, but God wants us to unwrap Jesus Christ. But the devil has his way. He'll keep him hid from everybody. Oh, the Bible's boring. You know, you've got so many other things to read, so many other things to do. You really don't have to be here every time the doors are open. I mean, you're busy. You need to have some fun on Sunday. You need to spend time with your family. You need to go out and hang out Saturday night. You need to stay up late so you can't be alert during work. It's okay. Sunday school doesn't matter. Wednesday night? Are you kidding me? As busy as you are, don't worry about coming back. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about getting involved. I mean, there are plenty of people doing the work. Listen, you deserve that new phone. You deserve that new purse. You deserve that new outfit. Don't worry about putting money in the plate this week. It's okay. I could go on and on. Satan wants Jesus to stay wrapped up. He doesn't want you to open him up. If he had his way, people wouldn't know the truth. There are a lot of people out there today that think they're okay, folks. They think they're okay, but they're not in Jesus Christ. And Satan wants them to stay that way. You see, we've got to unwrap these as what they are. Lies. I want you to know, yes, we call them the roaring lion, but I always like to refer to them as the roaring liar. Satan has lied and deceived since the beginning. He used Scripture with Jesus. Yeah, he twisted it and tried to make it, but he'll use it with us. He'll try to use any lie and deceitful manner, in any deceitful manner he can, to keep us confused, to keep us lost. We've got to unwrap him as what he is, a liar. And we've got to unwrap Jesus as who he is, the truth. You know, one thing that Satan wants you to be convinced of is this. Other people have it better than you. You know, you need to be envious, you need to be jealous, you need to be all these things. Well, if you didn't notice, I put on the front of the bulletin a poem. A poem that's meant a lot to me over the years. I'm going to share you these words and then we'll close. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough. But I've got loving ones all around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for His blessings and the mercies He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember many things. I remember times when things went wrong. My face wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeked through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads I have hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. When we unwrap the gift of Jesus, we have received the greatest blessing of all. Today, there are people with all kinds of different social backgrounds, colors, backgrounds, economic backgrounds. Today we may have people in here who are very, very well off. We may have people in here who struggle from week to week. You see, I can't promise you that today if you unwrap Jesus Christ, you'll be a multimillionaire. But I can promise us today that no matter what past, no matter what color, no matter what background, no matter what bank account, that if we unwrap Jesus Christ today, we'll all be the richest people walking the earth. We'll all have cups that have overflowed. We'll all be able to drink from that saucer. Today he's wrapped up. The gift is given to you. Don't let it sit there. Open the gift and do it right now together.